Welcome to the bonus episode here on We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. With me is the beautiful, voluptuous Harry Price. How are you, Harry?
Going good. How are you?
Your skin looks like beautiful mahogany, Harry.
That's called cocoa butter.
Cocoa butter? Is that how you keep it tight and dry?
Yeah. Well,
tight and moist?
Tight and moist, yeah. Well, because with Gunther, forces me to wash my hands, feels like every 5 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, I've got to keep applying lotion once in a while to make sure... keep it smooth.
Yeah, keep it smooth and silky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, well, you look beautiful. You had a job interview today,
mm-hmm.
Wore your Millennium Falcon t-shirt to your IT job.
How dare you? It's not a Millennium Falcon t-shirt. It's a it's a Firefly t-shirt. It's a Haynes manual of the Serenity spaceship. You would know that if you would come to any of my... role RPG games. Like
Harry, I'm not going to LARP with you. We've talked about this.
I would love to play my live-action role-playing Firefly game with you. It would be awesome. Kat said she would come back into town for that.
Well, Kat is a low-key dork. Like, here's the thing about Kat that I don't know if people understand. Kat is, like, she fits in with us so well, and I love, and I say this with all due love, like, Kat is a nerd like the rest of you people.
Yeah, just low-key. She just really, like...
She keeps it undercover.
And it's almost like she doesn't know what to be nerd about. So I really feel the more I get close to her, the more I can, like, push her in other nerdy stuff.
Yep.
Because she's like, you know, every time I show her something else, she's like, what? You can do that? That's real? Yeah, let me show you this real quick. Like, I put on the pineapple. I loaded up the wall of sheep for her because the next time I'm going to show her what the wall of sheep can do.
Okay. What is a wall of sheep other than CNN? Haha, get it?
Oh, yeah. I see what you did. The wall of sheep is a security firm. Oh, well, it's made from a security firm in DevCom. They put up basically get on the Wi-Fi and they manipulate it so everything going through the Wi-Fi goes through their thing. So what wall of sheep does is take that dump from all the traffic going through that,
right.
And it broadcasts this basically stupid sheeple people that go through things that are not through HTTPS, not through a VPN, not secure network on the basically the network. So they're sitting there at DEF CON in Las Vegas just shooting, taking people's information through the air and posting it on a wall of sheep. So people's usernames, passwords. Now, in recent years, you know, when they've gotten more bigger, more press, they have... you know, blotted some of it out. But before it was just like, boom, this is your Facebook. Boom, this is your, you know, MySpace account. This is your bank account. And you're like, you're not using a VPN. You're not using using HTTPS.
Techno shaming, basically.
Yes.
Right.
Shaming you. Or just educating. Some people don't understand. Some people think that they jump on Wi-Fi, they connect to their website, and that's perfectly fine. They're perfectly okay with that. They don't understand that you need to come over the corner and turn on a VPN. Like, I've got my own VPN server. I wish I could get most of the people on Wall to jump onto it, except James Neeson. He's not letting him on my server. But,
because, you know, James accidentally got a hold of my email a couple weeks ago. He basically fished me, mm-hmm. and he social engineered me into giving him my email password, and he surprisingly gave it right back to me and said, hey, man, sorry.
Yeah.
Which was very un-Neese-like of him, because... I was scared to death. I was terrified because James is like the Joker. Like he's the Joker of We Are Libertarians. Like, you can reason with Greg,
mm-hmm.
you can reason with me, but like James, you can't. Yeah, you know,
there's no reason.
He's gonna get in your email and he's gonna find whatever juicy information he's got and use it against you just for keks.
Yeah,
bruh.
Yeah, and that's how that's how you know he's your friend,
right? Yeah, because he's an asshole to me.
He got there and go like, meh. I expected something else in here.
Right. Well, it was my business wall email, so there was only like We Are Libertarian. It's like letters to the editor. I mean, it wasn't anything exciting.
Yeah.
I don't keep all the exciting stuff in my email.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a good job of like that part of your security, you do a good job of.
I
play a good shell game.
Yeah. So it's all on external hard drives. That's where I keep my nudes. All right. let's jump into our bonus topic. This is a whole lot of nothing. as much as the Russian stuff is, it's a whole lot of nothing. So I just want to read this article. I wish I could just read the whole article because it's just pissed me off so much, and I know it's going to make you guys mad too. It's in Politico magazine. and it's called How Facebook Changed the Spy Game. And it's by Asha Rangappa on September 8th. Asha, she was an FBI counterintelligence intelligence officer. Well, she'll kind of go into that in the story, but it kind of sets up what's going on with Facebook right now and an interesting conversation that we will have over the next few months, but want to start it here. Any doubt that Russia has been running a strategically targeted disinformation campaign in the United States was erased on Wednesday when Facebook revealed that it had deleted 470 inauthentic accounts that were based in Russia and had paid $100,000 to promote divisive ads during the 2016 presidential election. Senator Mark Warner of Virginia called Facebook's report the tip of the iceberg, and he's right. As a former FBI counterintelligence agent who investigated foreign propaganda cases, I've seen firsthand how foreign intelligence services leverage American freedoms and the constitutional limitations on the FBI's investigative power to their advantage. The rise of social media platforms makes that pervasiveness and the impact of operations today exponentially greater, and it leaves the FBI without the legal tools to stop it. The vast majority of counterintelligence cases I worked in the FBI involved a foreign intelligence service conducting what we called perception management campaigns. Perception management, broadly defined, includes any activity that is designed to shape American opinion and policy in ways favorable to the foreign government's home campaign. Some perception management operations can involve aggressive tactics like infiltrating and spying on dissident groups and even intimidating them, or trying to directly influence the U.S. policy by targeting politicians under the guise of a legitimate lobbying group. But perception management operations also include more passive tactics like using media to spread government propaganda, and these are the most difficult for the FBI to investigate. And so she goes on to talk about the proliferation of these foreign governments using social media to infiltrate our government, and how difficult it is for the FBI to deal with fake news as well as fake ads, because journalists, so she goes on to talk about fake news a little bit, and, you know, she says the FBI has a legal duty to stop or neutralize foreign intelligence operations occurring on U.S. soil. In the case of propaganda operations, one effective way to do this while avoiding the First Amendment landmine is to approach the foreign agent directly. There isn't exactly a law that prevents an agent from being a quote-unquote source for a journalist, but there is a law called the Foreign Agent Registration Act that requires any individual acting on behalf of foreign interests to register as a foreign agent with the State Department. It was passed in 1938 to counter Germany's dissemination of Nazi propaganda in the United States. Mm-hmm. It is a felony, punishable up to 5 years in prison. But that was then, and today the social media platforms have drastically skewed the unequal balance of power between the FBI and its adversaries. So she's saying it was, you know, one-to-one, and now it's all weaponized. And here's where I would push back. We're doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Only way more, like, the foreigner here at the ankles, and the United States is at the nose in terms of the height of what is going on in terms of trying to control opinion in other countries, Harry.
Correct, yeah. I mean, it's like, they're doing it on Facebook. You know, the CIA is doing it, yeah, but not only they're probably doing it on Facebook and whatever Russian social media platform they can get their hands on, they're also probably actively paying people in Russia right now to do different things in different aspects.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, as much as, that's how you, I think, you know, Putin kind of laughs at that one feminist organization, Femen, because they probably are.
No, you're fine.
I was like, so that Femen probably is like a CIA plant. They probably all get funding from CIA, and Putin knows it because that's why he probably thinks that whole, you know, stunt organization, it's funny, and just arrest them and lets them out.
So
but it's the other thing is, like, they're willing to, like, try to go after all these fake accounts. Like, you know how many fake accounts are on Facebook?
Yeah.
From different other people, and then.
There's almost a billion people on Facebook.
Correct. And the whole proof that they have that these are meant for the Russian government, it's, you know, it's scant at best.
It's amazing that they even found this. But, I mean, 470 accounts spending $100,000 on Facebook.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
That
it's
went nowhere.
Literally nothing.
It went nowhere.
I can tell you, how do I put this without
fake company B?
I think I have worked with companies who have spent tens of thousands of dollars on Facebook ads to get, and these are brands that people really love and are invested in, and tens of thousands of dollars barely push the needle, because the way that advertising works is it's you're beating people over the head consistently with the same message.
Correct.
And any advertising platform, generally you're going to get around 5% response. And so we're talking about 5% of a response for $100,000 worth of ads over 470 accounts with different metrics, different audiences being marketed to. That is such a drop in the bucket of actual response.
Yeah, plus with ad blocker on, and if, you know, if Russia really wanted to put in propaganda, don't, wouldn't they just use RT and just do kinds of all kinds of different videos? To me, I think putting that much money into RT would probably be a better use of state agency funds, you know, or just create it, or created a, or just dumped money into YouTube and made a YouTube video like of RT, or just trying to counteract that. That to me would make more sense than Facebook ads. That's what, to me, if they, it just seems like that they just found someone that was doing something that thought this was be funny, and they just kind of, you know, they try to make it seem like it was the Russian government.
Yeah. Well, she goes on to say, and she's right about this, is that, you know, you're not dealing with an individual on American soil that you can arrest. You're dealing with people who are cloaking themselves online.
Correct.
And you're dealing with you know, people who are invisible trolls from foreign countries, and they have bots they're doing it, so sometimes it's not even people. And these services really have, they're agnostic. A Facebook doesn't care what you post, although they're damn is sure trying. Think about the last time you saw a Liberty Tree or a conservative treehouse post. You know, when was the last time you saw the Gateway Pundit? You know, that crazy woman.
That's still around?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time that you saw a lot of these fringe conservative news sites, or I see a lot less Reason and libertarian news sites, and I have a huge, so I have 5,000 Facebook friends with 2,000 to 3,000 followers on top of that. I followed all those people back. I follow 10,000 pages. You know, my Facebook account is 17 years old or whatever, 15 years old. It's old.
Old, yeah.
Like
old.
Me. And, you know, so it's connected to a lot of different things. And I can tell you, I don't see a lot of news. I just don't. Like, the algorithm has scrubbed a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so a link, like, let's say Facebook weights against wearelibertarians.com, which, please don't do that, Mark.
Please.
Then very few people see it, you know? I mean, and so I went to share something the other day. They just blocked the whole URL because they didn't want you porn on Facebook, apparently. Whatever.
I'm in a private secret group on YouTube, and the guy who runs the group posted a photo that they didn't want on there, and he's got banned for 24 hours.
Yep. So, yeah, I they're trying, but for by and large, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Google Plus, YouTube, like they don't stop you from posting. They will wait against you, or they will demonetize you, but they aren't gatekeepers. And so a lot of what this woman is saying is that Facebook and all these social media services that we enjoy free speech on need to start cracking down on this quote unquote fake news, and need to start restricting content that is harmful to the American people, and only show content that is in the interest of the American people, quote unquote, which means
turning it into a propaganda machine.
Exactly right. Which means showing pro-American government content, which outlaws, you know, which weights against us.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, it just
super jingoistic on Facebook.
Right. And so they, you know, they're saying on the Daily Beast, Russia's Facebook fake news could have reached 70 million Americans.
Yeah, I doubt that.
In these hundred, you know. These covert propaganda posts on Facebook were likely seen by a minimum of 23 million people and might have reached as many as 70 million. And, like, let's say you had a reach of 70 million. Okay?
That's awesome.
It's really good. Yeah. Like, you,
Hollywood would kill for that.
Dude, you think of the most spicy meme that you've seen that everybody shares, and you've gone to that one post, and it's got like 13 million shares or whatever, and it's super, you know, the best post that I've ever posted on any of my pages had a reach of 15 million people on a single meme, okay? It is incredibly rare for a meme or a link or a video to catch viral, especially now in Facebook's environment, coming from a page that's paid because they want you to pay for reach.
Correct, yeah. Most memes that go viral went viral from another site, and people have brought it over. People have seen it somewhere else.
Right.
And so many people out of so many different circles, the algorithm couldn't keep up, and then it went viral on Facebook.
Right.
But it went viral somewhere else and then basically infected Facebook.
You absolutely could pay, if you spent $100,000, you could reach 20 million people. That is totally doable, but the amount of frequency that you would probably get on $100,000 and 20 million people is that person, a person would see it on average 1 to 2 times. Think about how many times you've seen the same ad once or twice. You don't remember what that product is. You don't remember what that article is. Like it's... And if it reached 70 million people, that means that whatever these fake Russian sites were sharing was something that people wanted to read and see and interact, which means that people saw it, shared it, wanted their friends to read it, their friends liked it, so they shared it, and it tree branched into something that the American people on Facebook wanted to read.
Correct, yeah.
Which means... lay off.
Yeah.
Let them make their own mind up.
Yeah. And if they did, you're talking about the Americans who have, what, 500 plus TV channels on satellite and cable, has all these different websites, all these movies, and, you know, like, oh, they're going to be caught by this propaganda machine, so we need to turn that into a propaganda machine. Yeah, it's complete. This is complete, like, a non sequitur or just something to keep Russia in the search engine. It's like it feels like all it is just a Russian SEO plant article to keep people searching for Russia. That's all this feels like.
Right. It is. It's just very, like, people who are ringing alarm bells don't know what the fuck they're talking about in terms of digital marketing and social media marketing and how effective this stuff is. Yeah, 70 million people could have seen it.
Yeah.
But out of that 70 million, the people who were imprinted by that information is very minimal. And the amount of action that was taken on that information is even less. And so a lot of what this is they're very careful when they're writing these articles at these big companies to not tell you the truth, which is that advertising is a long-term, consistent investment that you make in a single channel. Buying a Facebook ad for $100 one time and never, you know, like, that makes you feel good, but you have to do it over and over and over and over and over.
Yep.
It may have hit 23 million people, but they may have, quote unquote, brainwashed 10, you know?
Yeah.
Like, these companies don't, these companies that are writing these articles, like the Daily Beast, are tied to big firms that depend on advertising dollars who do brand partnerships that get sponsored on Facebook, and the Daily Beast is not going to write an article saying, yeah, it probably wasn't that effective because Facebook advertising only works for 5% of people.
Yep.
And
how many sock puppet accounts?
And then their sponsors go, well, then why the fuck am I paying you money?
Right. Why am I paying you that then?
Right.
You know?
So they themselves are propagandistic.
Yeah. Like, this whole thing could be propaganda. Like, wow, they spent that much? You got 70 million? I know if I had, what was it they said, like hundreds of thousands of dollars? That's amazing. Get 70 million? Here's money.
Right.
Give me 70 million viewers in front of this. But even that, how many of those 70 million is sock puppet accounts? I know I have at least 5 sock puppet accounts.
Right.
You know, I forgot. I've got so many. I actually have, like, lost track.
I need a sock account.
It's fun. I thought about, like, I think we should all make a wall sock account and leave it on there. And, you know, and if anyone can find the sock account that I made of Chris, this is good to search. If you guys can find it, I made a sock. It's Chris. I made Chris a fake Tinder account. It's in a different city. It's not Indy.
Did you really do this?
It's in a different city. Go ahead. See if you can find him.
Why did you do this to me?
Just to find it. See if anyone can find it.
Am I getting matches?
Yeah.
8 or aboves?
Yeah, they're like 7s.
I'll take a 7.
They're not in your city.
I don't care. I'll fly. I can travel. It's been a dry spell, Harry.
All right.
I don't have your smooth black skin.
I'll send you this.
You know how white women love black skin now.
Yeah, I'll send you the log. I just got drunk one night at the at Triton, and I decided just to do it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And meanwhile, James Neese made an OKCupid account of me.
Oh, man.
Oh yeah. We don't even know where it's at, but it's hilarious. It's just me, and I'm only targeting large black women in the Indianapolis area, and it's like regular pictures of me being, you know, just a regular dorky white guy.
I am gonna say this. I did color correct you kind of dark, and I made you go after Latinas.
I'm into it.
Yeah. and then I said you're like, you're half fluent in Spanish.
Well, I am. Lo siento, mi amore. That's after the sex. All right. So essentially, this woman, this counterintelligence person. You know, so where does this leave our counterintelligence? Short of allowing the FBI to unilaterally access and police social media accounts, which would make us start to look a lot like Russia, well, at least she's self-aware, we need to think creatively about ways to bridge the legal gaps now that benefit our adversaries. Currently, platforms like Facebook and Twitter have little incentive to help counterintelligence beyond their own goodwill. I mean, other than that complete back door that they built into all of these services, okay.
Yeah, services, servers, right. Everything on the, you know, the net.
Our phones. But Congress could pass legislation that requires social media companies to cooperate with counterintelligence in the same way they do with law enforcement. For example, the Communications Assistant for Law Enforcement Act requires telecoms to design their digital networks in a way that would permit wiretaps for criminal cases. Similarly, requiring social media platforms to develop ways to vet and authenticate foreign users and proactively report potential bots to the FBI would enable the FBI to identify perception management ops as they are occurring. In addition to monitoring these specific FIS-based accounts, the FBI could publicly expose the sources of particular accounts, ads, or news, creating the same kind of transparency that FARA originally sought to do with traditional propaganda. So, you know,
I just want to shout out the Hacker's Manifesto at this person. Just let them understand, like, they have no understanding what the internet is.
Here's the funniest shit ever, is the last sentence in Asha, RANGAPPA. She's an interesting follow on Twitter. Until it does, we'll be silently allowing our freedoms to be manipulated to make Russia great again. So we need to restrict freedom to allow freedom, Harry. Is what Asha is saying. Former FBI employee, someone who was in the intelligentsia of Washington, D.C. She's an associate dean at the Yale Law School now, so she's teaching. It's just unreal.
That's almost as bad as when you look up the Equifax chief security officer on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
If you look her up on LinkedIn and see her degrees in music, it's like, oh, that explains it. That's just as funny.
Yeah, and like, Wired released an article yesterday, to fix its toxic ad problem, Facebook must break itself. And basically, it just calls for more censorship online.
Yeah.
This made me laugh. So ProPublica.org, which is an independent, sometimes you get some good stuff out of them, sometimes it's stuff like this. They have a team called Machine Bias, and they write an article called Machine Bias, Investigating Algorithmic Injustice.
Dun, dun, dum.
Dumb is right. And so, maybe there's an argument for it, but the title of this is Facebook Enabled Advertisers to Reach Jew Haters. You didn't laugh as hard as you did the first time I read that. So essentially, you want to not market. You could go in. They found...
Because when you advertise on Facebook, you can the algorithm have built different things that you can target. So if you want to target chubby chasers from San Francisco, you know, it the algorithm kind of picks up people like that, so you know who to target your ad to.
Right. So for instance, my cousin, I work with him in a consulting basis doing marketing consulting for him. And it's Damon's Garden Company on the south side of Indy. So if you're in Indy, stop by, please. Great. Damon's Lawn and Garden is my family as well. He runs the Southside store, and I'm helping him. And when we jump into his Facebook analytics, it shows that women who are married, who are between the ages of 25 and 65, who are in the education and librarian space, are his best customer. And so when we're doing ads, what we do is we go in and target HGTV millennial women.
Yeah.
Because we want to get millennial women who have a longer buying history mm-hmm. to come in and spend money and buy the thing that they saw on the Fixer Upper show.
Correct, yeah. They saw that curb appeal. They want that.
Exactly right. And so, and it's 88% is women on his page, and it's because they're more interested in thinking about how to...
They're more inclined to do
exactly
that
right.
than somebody who sat there and watched Roadkill all day. That's a show about cars, not
right.
Roadkill on
like,
the road.
Like my dad. My dad goes by his trees all the time, but my dad's not on Facebook sitting there thinking about what trees to buy. You know, my dad's... Don't get me started on my dad and his lawn, okay? It's a thing.
It's okay.
But so... So like that's a very so when you, we can go in and we can target people on their behavior, on their demographics, on their income, on their, you know, when we buy ads for We Are Libertarians, we're targeting not only people that like Tom Woods and Joe Rogan, but also people that like technology, people mm-hmm. that like certain forms of entertainment, like mm-hmm. South Park, libertarian leaning.
Yep.
And
people with sense of humor, Pepe meme people.
Right. And so for instance, if you put in something like technology in a specific geographic location like Indiana or let's say the United States, you may get 11 million people that like technology. You may get, if you add Glenn Beck, you get 2 million people that you can reach that like the Glenn Beck Facebook page, okay? So most interest demographics, you want to have a big reach because if you're narrowing it down to a specific location, you have to have a big reach on these topics mm-hmm. or else you're not really going to get anybody. You're not really going to target new people. So
yeah.
You got to buy big. Like you need to, so these geniuses who know apparently nothing about Facebook marketing whatsoever went on to buy ads.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listen to that. Okay. Until this week, when we asked Facebook about it, the world's largest social network enabled advertisers to direct their pitches to the news feeds of almost 2,300 people. 2,300 people.
2,300.
On a platform of a billion who expressed interest in the topics of Jew hater, how to burn Jews, or the history of why Jews ruined the world. To test if these ad categories were real, we paid $30 to target those groups. Facebook approved all three ads in 15 minutes. Mm. Now, those were removed, and it's a big black eye for Facebook. Everybody's talking about it. But you know what? The reality is if we've only got 2,300 people, half of those are James' niece, first of all.
Yeah,
the other half is Greg, mm-hmm. and they're doing it for keks. They're mm-hmm. not doing it because they actually want to burn Jews. But let's say there are, in a platform of a billion people, 2,300 people who want to kill Jews. That's a pretty good percentage, wouldn't you say, Harry?
Yeah, that's less than a turnout for a WNBA game. Okay?
Right.
It's
right.
It's a non sequitur. What is that, like 0.0?
Don't math on me. but it's somehow that's like... But the perception is because 2,300 people want to burn Jews and Facebook allows you to target them, that Facebook is racist, the system is racist,
yeah.
Everybody's racist, and we need to end this,
yeah.
And they need to stop this nonsense. Well, the fact is this is called freedom.
Yeah.
This is called liberty.
Yeah. It sucks sometimes, but you have to deal with it.
Right.
But the other thing is, like, all that could just been, like, it's just an elaborate ploy that someone just tried to do from, like, it's just like they're just bored one night. Like, hey, let's create a bunch of sock puppet accounts and see if we can get the to pick up Jew hater on it.
Right.
Let's just all make a bunch of accounts and just see if we can get it to pick up.
You can't advertise to Tom Woods, for instance. Like, I'd love to advertise to Tom Woods' audience, but you can't. You can't advertise to our Facebook page. I don't know how you do that. How do you get that in there? So apparently,
and if you can, please email us.
Right. But
you know how.
Apparently, 2,300 people, they figured out how to do that. I mean, I'd love to see the profile that has, like, how to burden Jews in the profile, but... So it's just a lot of this
Jew
stuff.
Burning date singles.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got that farmers only going in the back of my head right now, but with G-Moves.
Un-J-Date?
Yeah. don't have to be lonely at Jewburners.com.
That's terrible.
I love the Jewish people. I love I love my locks. Don't get that wrong. I made a joke, but I love locks.
Happy Rosh Hashanah this week, Yom Kippur.
I've got all the Jewish friends. I have Jewish friends.
Some say he has the best Jews.
Yeah, the best Jew. Granted, all my Jew friends are black, but that's here nor there.
Hey, that's a rare multicultural fit. Yes. I just look at this stuff and I just go, You know more about technology than I do, Harry. Like, but when I look at the marketing end of this stuff, I just go, you don't know what you're talking about. You're trying to force a narrative to people who don't know any better, and you yourself are being propagandistic and feeding some bullshit to people. And in an effort to get a desired political outcome, you're feeding, it's not fake news. You're reporting facts, but you're twisting those facts into a false narrative.
I do like this. These last few stories is awesome because this is how I am when someone who doesn't know about tech start talking about it, and now this is your wheelhouse, marketing and Facebook and ads. So this is your wheelhouse, and watching like this normie get into your world and like, that's not how that works. That is not remotely how that works. And it's kind of cool to watch you go like, oh, damn these normies. And the thing is, like, the machine, the algorithm picked that up. It made that category because of someone was plugged it up with enough information. It's not like someone, like, it's not someone at Facebook like, well, time to categorize Jew haters. I know we block boobies and everything else, but you know what? We're going to categorize Jew haters.
Right.
You know, it's goofy. It's non sequitur, slow news day. And someone just needed to make an article real quick that got them clicks to make ad revenue on their website so you can click on it. That's all that is.
Yeah, like Christopher brings up a great point in the chat in the Dear Leaders Court group. It used to be impossible to seat a jury without bigots. Now we can only find a few thousand in a billion. I mean, it's so annoying.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, if you think about it that way, yeah. That's amazing. Now it just keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and soon, you know, we'll get rid of them, just like the boomers. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, I'm for it. So, anyways, bunch of nonsense, Harry. Yep. Any other thoughts on this story?
No, it's more of that awful fake news, and just trying to use something that most people don't know about, never have locked in, and they just believe that, well, I posted something to Facebook and I got thousands of likes and stuff like that, so they try to like use that ignorance that a lot of people have about Facebook to help push that narrative, you know. And I will say this, like on some of my Sock Puppet accounts, you could be surprised like if when you like different things and what you can get for your ads on the side of it. So like a lot of people use ad blocker. I use an ad blocker, but if you have like Sock Pup as an account, you could plump it full of different information. It's just it's kind of fun to play to just see what type of ads you get just by the likes you give it, and just to throw different things off. That's a lot of fun too, by the way. You know, when you like a bunch of guns and ammo, but you fill it up with everything from HETV and Lawn and Garden stuff, just to throw people's algorithms off. It's just awesome.
Speaking of Jew haters, Greg Lenz. And I will be, Greg does not hate Jews. Greg does not like Nazis, but he thinks it's hilarious to pretend that he does. And I'm borderline concerned at this point that he might actually be anti-Semitic and the joke has gone too far. But it's just like, it's the most offensive thing. So like Greg went right for it. And so we keep joking with our friend, Jen Gray. We're doing a third episode for Jen Gray on her Leading Liberty Pod. There's going to be a third one, and we are going to do the episode on Selling Hitler, a book that he and I both really enjoyed. So look out for that. So good times. Even though we were off, go ahead, Harry.
I was going to say, like, yeah, it's stuff like that some people just don't. The normies don't really get into the minutia of things. They kind of look at the surface thing. It started it was kind of showed itself like on even on Gamergate that they wouldn't deep dive. They would only go for the good thing. It's kind of like the whole thing. Like if you see people rag against Kekistan and the Kekistani people who are persecuted to this day.
Right.
But most people see the Kekistani flag, see that, and they just see that one CNN or embassy report. This is a hate group, but never really jump in and usually like, and they try to do this huge story on it, but you know, but a quick Google search will show you what is Kekistan. Even now, like, granted, like, some of the people who, like, the Kekistani people are making their own videos and to showcase that their beautiful religion, their beautiful culture of shitposting that the Kekistani people have.
Yeah. We have Kekistani flags, thanks to Justin Mitchell.
We fly the Kekistani flag. I'm sure we've got Kekistani people here on the podcast.
Big Keks. Yeah, lots of Keks.
To give them safe harbor. So, Kekistani people can get safe harbor.
All here. Your Keks are safe here. No, I don't know. I guess part of it is, and it irritates me because people, especially some of the older libertarians on my Facebook page, have the wrong impression of what this podcast is about. Like, I think that if people came in and they started listening to, like, the episode that we did tonight and mm-hmm. this, they would find it to be more familiar and more talk radio than they assumed it was.
Yeah.
Like, if you see our Facebook page, if you see our, you know, we have some news on the Facebook page, but, like, we're shit posters online and half of what I say on Facebook isn't real. Mm-hmm. But so everybody just assumes that we're a joke. And they just have the wrong impression. But it's not for those people who don't get it. It's for the people that do get it and mm-hmm. realize what's going on. Those are our people.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. And I know that our time is coming, and especially as we grow, our time is coming where something that one of us says will be used against us in a way, or a screenshot of something will surface mm-hmm. and a joke that we have made trying to push the boundaries will be used against us and it will blow up and it will be a big scandal. And mm-hmm. With no context with it. And, you know, it may not be now, it may be years down the road when we're much bigger than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the sad reality of our universe now, is that one wrong out of context statement or joke can be tweeted out to Antifa groups, and then your whole life is ruined, you're fired, you know, your show's over, like, and it sucks. So it just, you really have to have nuance and conversation and in-depth conversation to really get the nuance of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sucks that we don't, podcasting is like that last bastion where you can have that conversation.
Yeah.
Facebook is garbage in terms of trying to persuade people to your opinion.
Yeah, it's freaking garbage for that.
It's good for shit posting and promotion.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I don't try to have like huge long form debates with people on Facebook because it's kind of hard, because you can sit there and write like three paragraphs to respond and they can respond with like a sentence. Or I even have, like, I've taken apart someone's entire argument in two sentences because it was like, it was flawed to begin with, you know, and I felt bad doing that because I know that, like, this guy worked very hard on this paragraph. It's wrong. He's wrong, you know, but it's just how it is. I would rather jump in Discord, have a chat with somebody, or just tell them, like, hey, you know what? Like, there's several different, like, my family members have gone on my Facebook page and disagreed with me. It's like, you know what? We disagree right here, but I'm not going to argue with you about this on Facebook. Let's meet in person. Let's have some coffee. You know, let's get on voice chat. Let's talk about this. I'm not going to have this conversation on Facebook for it.
Right.
But you are right, because it takes nothing for someone who wants to shoot someone down, just kind of like they did to Milo, took him off the Drunken Peasants. They took something he said off topic on the Drunken Peasants. They went Wall Street Journal going after PewDiePie. That's before he was playing PUBG. that one was taken in context, but the other one that wasn't. But H3A3, people are going after them because the people were taking a lot of things they said in context. It's just watching people just like the old media attacking the new media, especially for different rising stars.
Mm-hmm.
I would really, really hate that, you know, let's say, Greg decided to write a book one day or get a book deal and lose it because of something stupid like that. Or I finish my book, you know, and it gets someone getting nuked from that, you know, from afar. But the only benefit that we got as podcasters and people like that is that we're able to one, while all that bad attention's on you, you can get behind a microphone and a camera to try to explain our position. Like someone like Milo, that wasn't, he didn't have a podcast.
Right.
You know, he basically, you know, like he went and talked and like wrote articles for Breitbart. You know, it's, if he had like a good podcast that could get on and like scream like, hey, listen, this is what's happening to me. And that's why like a lot of people are like, I can't believe PewDiePie is still on. It's like, well, because his viewers, could he, the people that he talked to that gave him money that support him, he was able to talk to them directly, to so that out of context article that came up there, he was able to talk to him. So if anything that does like that does happen to We Are Libertarians, I do hope that you guys will come look at our look at the explanation, find out what happened in context, and come back and keep looking. You know, because you guys know, you've watched the show, like, you know how we are, you know what type of people are. We're not going to just,
I'm not, I'm not racist. I have a black co-host, okay?
You know, and I'm not racist too. You know, I have, you know, like, you know, white friends.
Oh no, you're racist.
What?
Nah, no. you're not that racist. Yeah. All right. No, anyway. So
give me more vodka and I'll show you.
We got Harry. Yep. It's time for just the tip. All right. We know as you just displayed, you can go deep. All right. And it can be overwhelming for how much you know about technology. So you need to just give us a little bit of technology. Just a tip on how we can improve our technological lives. Do you have a tip tonight?
I think the biggest tip I can give people is this thing called 2FA, or two-factor authentication. Now, a lot of people, this got really got big insurgents back in the whole, back with World of Warcraft, with we had the little key cards, because people would steal different people's WoW accounts.
That's the nerdiest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, what two-factor authentication, what it does is, because, like, passwords suck, okay? Passwords can be cracked, because, and there's also, like, retention for passwords, because, believe it or not, you will forget your password.
That's why I have LastPass.
Yes. Yeah. Unless you write it down or have a password manager.
LastPass is amazing. That's my tip. Yeah.
Getting a
My tip is very small compared to Harry's. Yeah.
Getting a password manager will help you forgetting those passwords, but not even that. But let's say someone broke into his LastPass, right? And he's got that password manager. Now they've got all your passwords, right? So now they want to log into Dear Leader's Twitter account, right? But if Dear Leader threw up two-factor authentication, not only will they have to get into his two-authenticator, which, you know, which, so you need two different pieces of the key to get in.
Right.
So you need the passcode and the two-authentication token that gets generated. There's several different ways, like you can generate they generate the authentication token using time-based.
Yeah, so I use two-factor on all my big accounts. Okay, so like I use two-factor on my Facebook account, my Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for my Google account. Because those three accounts especially, A, control my brand and image, and B, what?
You put two-factor on your Patreon account too, right?
I think that they, I don't know if they allow it or not.
They do, and we're doing that as soon as we get done right here.
we will in just a second. But yeah, like it is not that much of more of a pain in the butt. Like Facebook, you log in and then you can go. So if I log in on you know, my iPad, then it sends a note to my phone and says, here's the code to get in.
Right.
I use it on my Dropbox. I use it on my Evernote. Anywhere that two-factor is used,
use it.
It's easy to use. You get a text message, you put in the little code, and it just adds a layer of security. Like I knew that I was getting a phishing email when Apple, quote unquote, was sending me a reset email ID. And I knew that it was fake because it wasn't two-factor. I wasn't getting a text.
Correct,
And so I didn't click on it. And then, you know, had you put in your password, you would have gotten my iCloud would have been hacked, and then you would have gotten my nudes.
Got the nudes out, yeah. And the SMS version of two-factor authentication is not as secure as like using like an authenticator or authenticator token, something like from a YubiKey or something like that. But it's better than nothing, okay? It's all security is are different layers. Security is basically an onion. You have to put up as many layers as possible. Just because you're like, well, I've got biometrics. Awesome. Throw up 2FA. Anyways, that's a part of the two-factor authentication. Like, if you got to put a passcode in a thumbprint, all right, now someone's got to do two different steps to get into any of your products. And a lot of your more popular websites all have offer 2FA. Amazon has it. Twitter, Patreon has it. Discord has got two-factor authentication. Steam has two-factor authentication. You want to, I recommend staying away from the email ones because those email codes, like if someone gets into your email address, they've got that as well. They got that token as well. Also, make sure when you get into the two-factor notification, if it controls an email address or something like that, you may want to make sure most of you can download ten offline codes. So you have 10 backup offline codes on a device somewhere else. I've got a netbook in the corner that with an encrypted hard drive on it, and when I downloaded enough tokens on that, so if something happens to, like, I get locked out of my authenticator app or my phone gets destroyed, I have enough tokens to get back in and reassessed and get back on.
All right,
on.
Now you're getting a little too deep. Okay.
Too much of the chef.
Too much. Back it up a little bit and wrap this up. Wrap it up, Harry.
All right. So basically, like, if you use two-factor authentication, it doesn't matter. Like, well, I don't trust Google that much, stuff like that. Yeah, but put it this way: if it's on the internet, it's basically, you have to understand everything that touches the internet is basically the back is a you have basically it's a front door to the worst country, the worst city you can even think of. So if Chirac is awful to you, that's anything touched in it, you basically have a door front right to Chirac. So you want to put up as many security doors as possible to stop someone from breaking in. So that's my tip.
Well, that was quite the tip.
Sorry.
you started to screech there for a minute, didn't you?
Yeah, I could get into, especially like because there's different authentication tokens you can get. There's other one that I like is using which I'm gonna get this year is the YubiKey. It's one of the USB authentication tokens that you can wear around your neck. You can get one for NFC tokens, so you can log into like a device just using the NFC and putting it up to like your laptop has NFC, your cell phone, your tablet, or just using all authentication that's just by putting in a USB port onto your laptop. So that's it's called YubiKey. It's like UbiCo, UbiCo or YubiKey. And these YubiKeys are really stuff you can shower with them. They're waterproof. They're like vibration resistant. They're really, really cool.
Did you just plug waterproof passwords?
Yes. Yeah. So you can put your thing around your neck and never have to take it off.
All right, Harry. You've gone too deep on Harry's tech tip. Again, I gotta reel you back in.
Deep.
All right, very good.
I have a problem going deep sometimes.
I know. It's a gift. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Let's say goodbye, Harry.
Goodbye, everybody.
Anything else you'd like to say?
I'd like to thank the Patreons allowing this to happen, allowing me to sit here and speak on this microphone and be a part of the Wall Network and watching everyone just interact in the Facebook chat. And once again, shout out to everyone in Discord. We played Sanctum 2. I played Sanctum 2 with a couple of the fans of the show last week, which was really, really fun. If you need the Discord thing, just go ahead and hit on Twitter or on Facebook. I'll send the Discord channel to you. I'm eventually going to just put the Discord thing up on in the Dear Leaders Chambers. And Dealer's Court, sorry, and put that there, put that permanently there. I just don't, you know.
Can you explain what Discord is for the rest of us?
Discord.
Just real brief. You got one sentence.
Discord is a was a former villain in My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. Discord is a
you and your fucking ponies.
Is a chat app that gamers use for chatting with people using on games. You can also post memes on it, have different channel, have voice chat onto it, and eventually they're going to get video chats, which is, you know, Discord's going to be amazing. And it's pretty cool. It's a lot better than Skype. It's so much easier than TeamSpeak, so you can actually get normies to get onto Discord instead of, which you can't get them onto TeamSpeak.
I just signed up for a Discord account right now, Harry.
Woohoo! I'll make sure he'll get two-factor authentication on that too as well.
I already added it to the Patreon, so nobody can break in now.
Yay.
All right, so I got to join servers and solve a mystery? I don't know what this
solve
means.
Solve a mystery? Here, I'll send you the We Libertarians invite, and I'll make you an admin.
All right, cool. Sweet. All right, thank you for joining us here on this episode of the bonus show. We appreciate you. It's so nice to have Harry on a bonus episode. We will be back Thursday with Greg, and I think it's just going to be Greg and I. Kat is TBD at this point with school duties, so it may just be Greg and I talking about Donald Trump. We will cover Trump's. There's just been so much Trump news, and we haven't talked about him in a while, and he's been at the UN causing problems, calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man in an official speech. He's being downright presidential at times. So we're going to cover all things Donald Trump on Thursday. We're also going to cover Hillary Clinton and her book tour. So you can check that out Thursday. If you want to watch it live and participate, then you can in Dear Leaders Court. And that is you join $10 a month, and then you get access. I'll email you through Patreon the link to get into the group. If you're not in the group and you are a subscriber, please feel free to hit me up anytime, editor@WeAreLibertarians, or you can send me a message on Facebook. We want to talk to you guys. I mean, if you guys, you're our bonus subscribers, you are our raving fans, you are our family, and we want to have conversations with you. So feel free to add us on any kind of social media. Add us on Discord, on Patreon, on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat. Yep. Kat Anagnos on Snapchat. Her username is CatAnagnos. Kat Anagnos. She loves attention. So please, loves dick pics. I'm kidding. Don't send her any dirty pictures.
Please.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Don't break this one.
We have a woman. An attractive woman that wants to be part of our group. Stop.
Yep. I know.
She's going to have a tough time dating this year. If she does actually manage to get asked out on a date, she's going to have to sit down with Greg, you and me. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to ask what your intentions are with our co-host. Will there be what will there be heavy petting?
Right.
Because there better be, because she needs it. So, no, we love Kat, and we're very protective of her. So if you creepertarians get on her case, you will get a visit from me.
Yes.
And you do not want that. Mm-hmm. So I will descend from the heavens.
And we will come after you. We will find you.
Oh, man, I am deep diving into North Korean culture.
Ooh.
And we're going to talk about it in the next couple weeks.
Oh, nice.
On the Thursday show, probably 3 weeks, we'll probably talk about North Korea. And,
that's going to be a good one.
Man,
It's deep, ain't it?
It's an amazing culture. They're an amazing people. And they're, you know...
Yeah, it's...
It's hard to
it's
hard
gone through some crap in the last 100 years.
Dude, go watch Dennis Rodman's Big Bang in Pyongyang. It's the funniest documentary. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, and it's also, like, sad because, like, okay, yeah, I don't want to ruin the documentary. I don't want to spoil it for people. Just go ahead and watch it. It's a very interesting, and also show you how terrible, you know, the media is also too. Because
absolutely,
they ruined a good thing.
All right, very good. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Please connect with us if you have any problems. If there's anything that you any comments, questions. Listen, I am
suggestions.
First of all, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of people that signed up so quickly. So things like tweeting out your names and posting you on the groups, and like I'm a little below water, and I will get there, I promise. We will get you your posters. I bought all the tubes. I've had everybody sign them. I'm gonna wrap them and send them out over the next month, I would say. But you will get your posters. Probably sooner than a month, probably the couple weeks from now, and got some goodies that I'm going to send you guys. So please be patient with me. I am brand new at all this business stuff, so I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. So any constructive criticism, any suggestions, any of that kind of stuff, I would be forever grateful to have you share that with me. Nicely. I'm very sensitive. So please feel free to contact us. We thank you so much for being one of our subscribers, and we will see you on Thursday.